So I do have an opening story for you today. It's about a... was that a criticism?
No.
I expect that from my wife, Peggy, but not from you. There was this small army unit that just consisted of 10 privates and a sergeant. And they were on weekend leave. And after it was over on Monday morning, the sergeant was right back at the barracks bright and early, waiting for the 10 privates to show up at 9 o'clock. And they come straggling in after 11, and he is fuming. So he decides to call them in one by one to see what their reasons were, what their excuses were. And the first one comes in, and he says, "What's your story, soldier? And he says, "I'm really sorry, Sarge. The bus actually was early this morning, so I missed it by 10 minutes. I didn't have any choice. The only way I could get here was by hitchhiking. And the only thing that came along was a horse and buggy that offered to give me a ride. And that's why it took me so long." And the second soldier comes in and he tells the same story. He missed the bus. He had a hitchhike. The only thing that came along was a horse and buggy. And that's why it took him so long. Every one of the soldiers came up with the same story until the last one came in, and now the sergeant is just like really aggravated. And before the soldier even gets started, he says, "Let me guess, you missed the bus, right?" And he said, "Sir, yes, sir." "And then you decided that the only way you could get here was to hitchhike, right?" And the soldier said, "Sir, yes, sir." And he says, "And don't tell me, the only thing that came along to offer you a ride was a horse and buggy." And the soldier says, "Sir, no, sir. I actually got a ride in a beautiful, brand-new 2019 Mercedes." And the sergeant says, "Why are you so late, then?" And he said, "Sir, we did our best to make up time, but the entire road was blocked with all those stupid horses and carriages." She's shaking her head. Excuses, excuses, excuses. We're going to be talking today about excuses because they have everything to do with our talk topic, which is the parable of the great banquet. And all of this is just fitting in so well today because today is the day of our great Thanksgiving feast that we enjoy a wonderful tradition at the church. It's an opportunity for us to go downstairs after the service and enjoy even more wonderful food than we typically enjoy on Sundays. And we get to share with one another. And most importantly, 4 days before Thanksgiving, maybe it all comes together and helps us develop a much higher, greater attitude of gratitude. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and I just think appreciation is so important, and it's important for us to accept those invitations when they come along. There's an experience that I have had multiple times in my life, and maybe you could relate to it. That is, I get invited to something, or Susan and I get invited to something, and I accept, and then when the day comes to go to the party or whatever it is, I don't want to go. Okay? I don't want to get dressed. I don't want to shower. I don't want to shave. The last thing I want to do is go to whatever this is. All I want to do is sit at home, kick off my shoes, and relax. And so just being very open and honest with you, my brain goes to that place of, I wonder if there's some excuse that I could offer to not go and do this thing. And there's another related scenario. Sometimes I'll get invited to something, and I know when the invitation comes to me, I don't want to go. But then I think, well, it's the right thing to do, so I say, yes, I will go to this thing. And always what happens, maybe because Mama Corpin kind of raised me right, I end up going, and almost invariably, I end up having an absolute wonderful, terrific time. And I don't want to leave. And after it's all over, I'm back home and I say, geez, I'm really glad that I do that. And I share this with you today because it relates to the topic today, the parable of the great banquet. And I want to share with you This is a story that's actually covered in two Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew and also the Gospel of Luke. And I want to read to you the story from the Gospel of Luke, if I could find it. There was a man who gave a great banquet, and he invited a large number of people. When the time for the banquet came, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come along, everything is ready now." But all alike started to make excuses. The first said, "I have bought a piece of land and must go and see it. Please accept my apologies." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please accept my apologies." Yet another said, "I have just got married and so I am unable to come." The servant returned and reported this to his master. Then the householder, in a rage, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," said the servant, "your orders have been carried out, and still there is room." And then the master said to his servant, "Go to the open roads and to the hedgerows and press people to come in to make sure my house is full. Because I tell you, not one of those who were invited shall have a taste of my banquet." As I said, this account is also carried in the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Matthew, the story comes in response to Jesus trying to explain to people what the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of heaven is all about. And that particular version is also different because Matthew is speaking to a different audience. He's speaking to an audience that is probably exclusively Jewish. And so Matthew is sending a message to the people that he is writing to. You really blew it. Your whole life, you've been waiting for somebody to come along and establish the kingdom. For generations, you Jews have been waiting for somebody to come along and establish the kingdom. And lo and behold, you witness it. It's right here in your midst. And you, for whatever reason, you're all tied up in all of your rigmarole and all of your laws and all of your proper, we must do this and we must do that, that you could not even recognize it when it was sitting right there in front of you. The account that I just read to you by Luke was really to a different audience. It was to an audience of Gentiles. And so therefore, it's a much more generic message. And that's the one I chose to read to you today because it really helps connect some of the dots and trying to put together what I'm trying to put together. There are all kinds of metaphysics in this story. The banquet represents the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven to which we are all invited. The master represents God or represents the Father. And the servants represent the means by which the invitations get extended to each and every one of us. And frequently, they don't come in a particular form or substance. They come in many forms and substances, but sometimes they don't come in a form and a substance that we might recognize or identify as being part of our spiritual invitations. It's part of our spiritual life. So maybe these invitations come to us in wonderful things like a beautiful sunset or a gentle rainfall or the laugh of a baby. Or maybe they come to us in more subtle ways. A passing comment that somebody might make when we're riding on an elevator. Or maybe a piece of music, you know, we get exposed to it and there's an invitation there. Or maybe the invitation comes to us even in things like a TV program or a movie. And sometimes those invitations might even come to us by things that we don't particularly regard as good or pleasant. A not so good visit to the doctor or being laid off from work. And in the story that I shared, I want to go back because there was one line that was really, really very simple and yet really profound. Six simple words. Come along. Everything is ready now. Come along. Everything is ready now. And the reason I'm creating such an emphasis, such a focus on this phrase, is that Spirit or God is aware at all times of exactly where we are and what exactly is it that we are ready for at that particular time. And so that invitation to the banquet comes to us. And maybe when it comes, we can't pick up on it. We can't recognize it because we have been so busy building our own little world and our own little empires and tending to them that we just absolutely miss the whole point. In the story, people make excuses. I just bought a piece of land and I have to go check it out. I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I have to try them out. Geez, I'm really sorry. I just got married. So, no, I can't come. You know, these are not lame excuses. These are really decent excuses. And some of the reasons that we have, some of the excuses that we have, also seem reasonable at the time that we're making them. You know, in the story, it's not like anybody was saying, yeah, geez, you know, I don't think so. Tell the master I have a headache. And in our own life, perhaps the excuses take the form of, you know what, I just got my butt chewed out by the boss. I'm not in the mood right now. You know what? I just had a major fallout with somebody. I don't think so. You know what? God, I've been on my feet all day long. I have to tend to the kids. I am really exhausted. So no, this is not particularly a good time. And so we don't answer the call. Again, like the Jews were so tied up in their world of establishing a political kingdom, we get tied up in our own world, creating things and running around to things and attending to things in order to build and keep and maintain and restore all of the tangible stuff in our life that we thought that we were in control of and end up controlling us and cause us to turn a deaf ear to the whole thing. So you might ask the question, how do we know when we're invited? How do we know when the time is right? And so I would suggest to you that if you're never feeling a little nudge, if you're not feeling any pulls or any tugs, to get off of the schneid from your daily routine, to move away from what has grown in importance to you, even if they really are significant, powerful, wonderful things, if you're never feeling any voice to move you along in a different advanced stage of growth, come along. Everything is ready now. If you can't hear or feel or sense those words in some degree, in a real sense in your life, then maybe it's because you've just filled your world with so much clutter and so many other things going on that you're missing the point, that you're missing the whole ball of wax. And in the story, when the master finds out that all of these people gave excuses for not coming to the banquet, he is enraged. And he tells his servants, go back out into the streets and the alleys. Bring in the poor. Bring in the crippled. Bring in the blind. Bring in the lame. And in that section of the story, there's really a dual metaphysical message. The first is that it would seem that the people who should have accepted the invitation, who probably could be on a metaphysical level assumed to be of a higher, greater consciousness that they were worthy to receive this invitation, are glossed over. And the invitation goes to people who maybe seemingly would not be as ready, who maybe seemingly would not even be worthy. But the second part of that metaphysical message is even more profound, is even deeper. Each and every one of us has something about ourselves that we are not particularly happy about. Maybe it's our weight. Maybe it's our hair. Maybe it's that we don't have a lot of hair. Just saying. Maybe it's we're not happy with the way that we have aged, or we're not happy with the way that we are aging. But what this story, what this parable is telling us is that none of this matters. In every one of us in our lives, at one time or another, have had the really horrible experience of being hurt. We have all had the experience of feeling broken. We've all had the experience at one time or another of feeling some degree of humiliation. We have all been given reasons, told reasons that we should be ashamed. And this parable is telling us that none of this matters. We may have parts of us that are broken. We may have parts of us that are blind. We may have parts of us that are crippled. We have parts of us that are poor. Come along. Everything is ready now. This parable is telling us that none of this matters. Regardless of how small you might feel in general, or regardless of how small you think parts of you are, none of this matters. Because what this story is telling us is that there can be no greater priority in our lives than answering the invitation to attend the banquet when it comes. Absolutely nothing. Not our jobs, not our relationships with significant others, not our business, not even our health. Absolutely nothing takes priority over saying yes to God, to Spirit, when that invitation comes to us in our lives. You know, it's so easy to make excuses. It's so easy to be negative. Years ago, when I was named vice president of my little small company where I worked, my reaction was, I don't deserve this. All I did was fool people. And when I was in ministerial school, I can't tell you the number of times that I said to myself, oh God, I don't belong here. When I saw my daughters get born, it was an incredible experience in my life. And I said, I'm not qualified for this job. And when Susan said, yes, I will marry you, I was thrilled out of my mind and frightened as much as I ever been before, because I didn't feel that I was really up to the task in accepting this invitation. When When I took the job here as a full-time minister after Jan left, I was scared out of my mind. I even expressed this to a couple of the congregants, and the support I got back was wonderful. We've got your back. What are you worried about? And I thank you, because that really has proven to be the case over the past 8 months. And I'm so grateful for it. But all of these things that I'm relating to you now, these are instances in my life in which I have felt incredibly blessed. And despite all of the fears and misgivings in every single situation, there was a level in which I said, I don't have the confidence. Okay, but here I am. And I'm guessing and I'm hoping that each and every one of you, at least sometime in your life, have enjoyed a similar experience that comes with saying yes to Spirit, saying yes to what God is calling you to be, what God is calling you to enjoy. It's so incredibly easy for us to throw a wet blanket over absolutely anything wonderful that life brings to us, that life has to offer to us. It's so incredibly easy for us to say, why? Or why me? And all you have to do to turn that around is add one simple word. Why not? Why not me? In all that we do, and practically everybody we meet, we are receiving that invitation to come to the banquet. It doesn't have to be a lightning bolt out of the sky. It can be something as incredibly subtle as a smile from a stranger. It could be something where we feel the urge within us just to offer a kind word or a bit of support to somebody that we don't know, somebody that we're involved with in a marginal relationship, somebody that we meet at the store. Every single one of these things, your everyday life from morning till night is filled with invitations from the Spirit. Each of those saying the words, come along. Everything is ready now. You don't have to lose 20 pounds before you go to the gym, folks. There's an element of real trust here. God, Spirit, is aware of where you are. God, Spirit, isn't focusing on all of the drawbacks that you perceive within your own minds and within your own hearts. God and Spirit is focusing on who and what you are at your depth. Each and every one of you are creatures of incredible value, of incredible wonder, of incredible joy, creatures capable of incredible, unabounded love. Come along. Everything is ready now. And so I invite you, if you even smell an invitation in the air when something happens, don't ask the question, why or why me? Ask the question, why not? Or why not me? The only thing that precludes you from attending the banquet, the only thing that precludes you from enjoying the great feast, are the excuses that you want to conjure up in your own minds. Don't do it. Trust yourself. Trust in Spirit. And let's come and dine together. And let's take this to prayer and meditation.